Okay. Oh, I gave you the wrong one. I'm sorry. I'm as nervous as a cat in a room full of rocking chairs.
I know it scared me too. Well, good morning, Paul. How are you?
Good morning,
Bill. You are a little bit late.
Yeah.
It's really okay. I know how much you love your garden, and it was probably hard to pull away.
It was. Yeah. How are you?
Yeah, it could be better, but you know, life is really good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've got nothing to complain about, truly and genuinely. Even though I did try to throw myself off my bed. Well, I tried to do it. I was just looking around. I don't see Gypsy. Where is she? I was hoping that she'd be here.
No, she isn't here. She couldn't make it. She said she had important things to do.
Well, of course. I understand. Can you tell us a little bit about these really important things that Gypsy is occupied with?
Well, let's let her tell you in her own words from one of her conversations.
Well, okay. But I was wondering if you happen to have any good cat jokes.
Well, maybe some cat sayings. You know, what they say about cats are, if they're inside, they want outside. If they're outside, they want inside. When Gypsy scratches on the door and I open the door, she just sits there because she wants an invitation to come in. And then my mother used to send me lots of clippings, and some of my favorite were the man laying on the couch with the cat on his chest, and he says, "I could have conquered the world if it wasn't for you." And then the man standing over the cat next to the cat litter box, and he says, "You never think out of the box." Now you know Einstein had a cat, and I'm sure that cat is partially responsible for his theory, relativity, E equals MC squared. And I understand the cat regretted having collaborated with Einstein.
Mm-hmm.
It was hoping that it would be for peaceful reasons.
Yes. Well, now, you were going to tell us a little bit about the really important work that Gypsy is doing right now and why she wasn't able to come and join us this morning, which I'm just still sad about.
Yeah, I can understand.
Yeah.
Well, this is from our latest conversation, summer 2021. And do you mind reading her part?
Yeah.
Okay. I can't believe it's summertime, and I'm already picking green beans. It just seems like yesterday that I started the spring garden and put the seeds in the ground.
Well, time flies when you're having fun.
I thought you didn't believe in time, and that the only time we have is right now in this moment.
Well, yes, I was just referring to your perception that time has gone by so quickly. There's a sense of timelessness when we're fully engaged in what we're doing in the moment. And in this state, time doesn't really seem to exist. And we just are.
Well, I'm afraid I'm having trouble following you there, but I appreciate your wisdom.
Humans, I mean, even yourself, tend to sense time because of the change of the seasons, of the thick change of things going around them, or in the daily rhythm of day and night. These are only astrological events that are taking place. Humans translate these events into a sense of time by dividing up these natural rhythms and natural events and into units that they refer as time, minutes, and seconds, and so on. However, in actuality, no time has actually elapsed.
I'm afraid I'll just have to take your word for it.
Yeah.
I do understand that if we only have this very special moment in what we call time, then the past and the future don't exist. And if they don't exist, then neither does time either.
Well, further, what you're perceiving is a change in the seasons from spring to summer. The earth has warmed up considerably now that our area of the earth is tilted toward the sun, and the days have become longer. Your garden is growing faster. If you were on the other side of the equator, it would be winter.
Yes. Well, not to change the subject here, but I've noticed you've been sleeping a lot.
Well, to some, it might appear as if I'm sleeping, but actually I'm meditating on the mess that the world has gotten into and sending the earth messages of healing and peace.
You're a good example of what we could all be doing more of, just relaxing and enjoying life. I still don't seem to get it.
Well, on the contrary, meditation takes great effort and focus. If you remember our previous conversation, one needs to learn to still one's body to free the mind. It's in that state that one can do the most good.
Yes, I understand what you mean, and I'm just amazed by your capacity to remain quiet and focused for great lengths of time. Oh, there I go again, interjecting the idea of time into our conversation.
Well, I heard that. Well, yes, and humans seem to have the greatest trouble just being without feeling like they have to do something, and that somehow they're letting time slip by. I think that humans use the saying, make the most of your time. This suggests that if you aren't doing something, you're somehow missing out. Whereas just being suggests that we don't have to do anything at all other than being present in this moment. As the saying goes, don't just sit there, do nothing.
Well, all this just seems to make my head spin.
I noticed.
It leaves me feeling dizzy. I will need some time to let it all sink in. I just can't seem to get away from that sense of time.
What I'm hearing you say is that you need to sit with all of this and let it sort itself out. That is a worthy pursuit, no pun intended. Cats are not only doing our work when trucks, that is, I lost my sense of time. Cats are not only going, and cats are not only doing our work when we are still, we are also conserving our energy. It is all this rushing around in cars and trucks that's warming the planet and causing great pain and suffering for all its inhabitants.
Yes.
Okay, I think I understand a little bit more about why Gypsy couldn't be here this morning. And from this conversation, I understand that Gypsy's part is, how can I say it? She plays a role of a mentor and advisor to you. And she's also an environmentalist.
Absolutely. Yes, but perhaps I can digress a little bit. I was a third child. And perhaps one of the issues that I faced was not feeling like I could do things as well as my siblings could. So I gravitated toward trying to get help from someone else when I didn't feel confident in myself. Gypsy fills this role for me as an advisor and a mentor.
Mm-hmm.
I would also mention the book, My Ishmael, by Daniel Quinn, about a young girl who answers an ad from a gorilla. Have you all heard that book? The gorilla is looking for a student. Of course, at the time, she didn't know the teacher was a gorilla. It's a delightful story about self-discovery, and eventually she heads to Africa to meet with political leaders to try to get the gorilla back into the country.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I'm wondering, though, if there's something different about this program we're having this morning. SSC.
You mean like having a cat as a speaker? Is that what you're talking about?
Well, no. I mean having a conversation instead of somebody standing up and talking to the group. This is an idea I had that I wanted to try out. Perhaps you'd listened to Krista Tippett on Being on NPR.
Okay.
This is what I had in mind. What I've discovered in my conversations with Gypsy is that conversations have a way of taking on a life themselves, if you know what I mean.
Well, I'm not really sure I do.
Well, I've never been a very good writer, but when I sit down to write a conversation with Gypsy, some magic takes place.
Magic? Can you say a little bit more about this?
Very often the conversation takes over and I'm just a participant in something unfolding. One of our conversations took place when I was flying on an airplane to Seattle.
Okay, but how can you have a conversation when you two are separated by thousands of miles?
To understand this, you would need to know more about how we communicate with each other. So I would need to share a little more about what happened when Gypsy didn't come home.
I'm listening.
Well, first you need to understand what was happening in my life. My fourth marriage was unraveling, and I was very lonely and depressed. And I'm sorry. So this is when Gypsy came into my life.
I understand. But where did you two meet? And was it love at first sight?
Well, I was ordering a metal cardboard in a place on 441 South, and the owner had a little office there. And there was this cat sitting on the porch. Well, since I like cats, I decided to pet her. But when I put my hand down, she leaped up into my hand.
Oh.
Well, a few days later, I stopped by and she came home with me, crying bloody murder the whole way home. She doesn't think I drive very carefully.
I understand that too. Now, how about how the two of you communicate with each other?
Well, first, I have great respect and feel honored that she wants to live with me. You know, we have to realize that these animals are different species and they're choosing to share their life with us.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was living in a small trailer with Gypsy after my separation. And one day, Gypsy didn't return home. In the morning, she would follow me to the garden and hang out with me. And then she would go across the creek on a log and visit my ex's cat, Shadasha. At the end of the day, I would go and find her, and we would come home together. However, that evening, I couldn't find her anywhere. I called and called and looked everywhere. I finally had to return home. I was very sad and upset. I finally just had to go to sleep.
Well, obviously you did originally find her, right?
I spent most of the second day looking for her, looking everywhere several times with no luck. So I made up a song while I went around looking for her.
Would you like to share this?
I'll try. And I get the tune. Oh, Carolina, Carolina. I lost my love in Carolina, had no warning of her leaving. There was no sign of where she'd gone. Food out calls in the dead of night. Have you seen my true love tonight? High top ridges, lonesome valleys, where aware could she have gone? Oh, Carolina, Carolina, I lost my love in Carolina, had no warning of her leaving, there was no sign of where she'd gone. Coyotes howl in the full moonlight, have you seen my true love tonight? High top ridges, lonesome valleys, where could she have gone? Carolina, saw my true love in every shadow, but when I turned, she disappeared. High top ridges, lonesome valleys, where could she have gone? And I'll skip the rest.
This is all very beautiful, but it doesn't really explain how you found Gypsy and how you communicate with each other.
Well, let me finish the story now, but maybe it would be helpful to go to the conversation, Lost and Found, and let Gypsy help explain what happened. This is one of her earliest conversations. Me, I thought about what we talked about, and it reminded me of when I thought I lost you.
You mean that when you couldn't find me?
Yes, I was beside myself when you didn't return home that night. I had called and called, and I looked everywhere at least a dozen times, but I couldn't find you.
But why didn't you listen to me? I was calling to you.
You have such a quiet, small voice, though.
You only have to listen with your mind.
I might interject here that Gypsy only meows to get my attention. Me. Yes, I realize that now, and that's what I was getting to, and how it relates to what you talked about, napping and freeing your mind.
Okay, go on.
Well, the second night you didn't show up, I had almost given up hope. I always left the outside light on for you, and I almost turned it off, feeling that I would never see you again.
Can't see in the dark. We don't need the light on.
Leaving the light on was more of a symbol than out of need. I hesitated and then left it on. At this point, I had really almost given up that I would ever find her. I believed that she had been taken by a coyote or another predator. By turning out the porch light, I was saying to myself that I needed to accept that I had lost her. But something in me wouldn't allow this. I just couldn't give up hope.
And that's when you found Gypsy?
Well, first I had to learn how to communicate with her. Let's return to the conversation. Me. So I went to bed feeling very sad and lonely without you.
I'm glad that you appreciate me and my company.
Well, I woke up about 2 in the morning. I was laying in bed, and my mind was completely clear. No thoughts, And then the thought came to me, I just need to send my mind out and find you. And it was instantaneous. I knew exactly where you were. I really want to emphasize here what happened. I wasn't thinking about, well, where was Gypsy? Or where hadn't I lived? And the interesting thing is, I don't know where that thought came from.
Okay, I understand how much you were missing her and how much you wanted to find her.
Now back to the conversation.
You mean you finally heard me calling you?
Yes, exactly. But not in the way you would normally think someone was calling you. I just knew where you were.
I was so ready for you to find me and for me to get back home.
Well, I put on my pajamas, I got in my car, I drove down where I thought you were, and there you were. I just couldn't give up hope.
And I waited patiently for you to come and to let me out.
I was so thankful when I found you, and you were fine. We went back to home together, and you were... I'm sorry, but you ate a little bit and had a drink of water, and we went back to bed.
It was a really nice coming home, a homecoming.
When I woke up in the morning, I had to make sure you were really there and it wasn't a dream. Now I'm so happy we're back together again.
Me too. And that you are beginning to realize the potential of using your mind and, of course, nap.
I promise I will take a nap every day.
I recommend several every day. whenever you urge it.
Okay.
I'm touched. You really did miss me.
Of course, you are the light of my life.
I'm not sure I really understand how you communicated the goal. Are you going to explain that?
Well, you know, Native Americans believe that we shouldn't try to understand mystery. We need to accept that there are some things that we can't understand. Science today is trying to pry into this mystery that I don't think will find the answers. And I might mention both my friends were scientists.
Then maybe you can share how Gypsy might explain what happened.
Well, then we'll need to go to another conversation that deals with matters of the heart. And I realize this is heavy stuff, and maybe we need to take a break. Perhaps I could read some poetry that I wrote about Gypsy.
Okay, then. Go right ahead.
Two Palm Morning. I had a rough day yesterday, and she must have known, because she put both paws on my chin just to let me know she cared. Morning, when I had rested and first opened my eyes, she is there with me. She presses her full weight of her body on mine, and her quiet purr vibrates through my chest. I know I'm loved. Shoes, is it the shoes? Were my last frantic antics as I prepare for the day? Gloves, scissors to harvest, water bottle, earplugs. I slip my feet silently into the black boots. She perks up and is on her feet ready to go. It never fails. that she knows the instant I'm ready to go outside in the world. Some things are mystery that we can't know. Leapfrog. On the way to my ex's, she plays leapfrog with me, running ahead and getting in front of me, knees stepping to the side and around her. We repeat this most of the way to her house, but how does the cat know how to play leapfrog? By watching frogs, of course.
And now you'll explain more about how you two communicate?
Well, Gypsy can do a bit of job, I think. This is from the conversation, homecoming. I've just returned from the trip to Seattle to visit my family. Paul, it's good to be back home.
Next page. Oh, go ahead. More, oh, home is where, home is where your heart is.
Yes, I think this is where my heart is, in these woods, gardens, flowing waters, cries of birds, and much more, including a cat who fills a very special place in my heart.
Are you talking about me?
Of course.
Will I always be that special in your heart?
Nothing can ever take that away, and that's an unusual question for a cat who doesn't worry their tongue. In the past or the future.
That question was only asked to elicit a response as to the depth of feeling you have for me and what makes this place special to you. Some things are permanent and other things are less so.
I accept that you will be here with me whether in your present state of being or that of some other creation around you. We don't have any particular plane to the atoms or molecules that make our being. They existed here before we came to being and will exist in some form later.
Then what is the essence or qualities that you find in me or your surroundings that make them special and lasting to you?
You're asking difficult questions, and I know that this is important. You're asking me what is unique about this place that differentiates it from somewhere else, at least for me. And why is home so important? Could I find it somewhere else if I left here? Or does it reside inside us?
Yes, these are matters of the heart.
I've heard that the heart is an organ that is central to our being. Is central to our being, that it is through our heart that we make connections with things or people. Generally, we think that we make these connections through our brain and thinking, but I've heard that the heart is much faster, that it's a supercomputer compared to the slow mechanics of the brain, of our brains.
Yes, from an energetic standpoint, the heart responds more quickly and is able to communicate directly without words.
You mean this is how I found you when you were lost through the heart? It was amazingly fast. In fact, it was instantaneous.
You're right. This is how we reach out to each other. This is why I spend so much time napping. I'm reaching out to the world through my heart. For matters of the heart, there is no time or space, no past or future, only right now.
Okay, now I'm beginning to understand the way you think and act.
It's less about the way I think than how I choose to relate to the world. Thinking separates me from the world. Through a process of analyzing, planning, and so forth. Choosing to relate to the world through my heart is more about being or acting in the present. And in the heart is the only place where this can take place.
This is way beyond my ability to think about or understand.
This is because this knowledge exists in the heart and not in the brain.
Then how can you know what is in your heart?
You have to listen into your feelings. These reside in your heart, not in your brain. Your brain is trying to interpret them and assign meaning to them. Feelings are actually pretty simple. Love, fear, anger, hunger.
What do these feelings tell me, or how can I understand what they're telling me?
Well, this is easy. Basically, you look at what your heart tells you and how it makes you feel.
But I've learned that my initial reaction to things is not always reliable. That even if I'm feeling afraid of something doesn't mean I should avoid it.
Here is an invitation to explore something that has meaning to you on some level.
Such as when I was afraid of losing you, this feeling is inviting me to look at my feelings of being alone.
Yes. The feeling of fear is trying to get you to look at your feelings of attachment to them.
Well, I think I understand that. First, that all things are impermanent and change is always taking place. That the harder we try to hold on to something, the less we can really know what it is.
That's why we can't understand some things with our brains. Our brains want to hold things, classify things, etc. You can't separate the song of a bird from the bird itself. They're one and the same thing.
In other words, we can't know the bird by listening to its song.
You could know of the bird, but you can't know the bird itself. And in the same way, we can't know something using just our brains. We must feel it in our heart.
We must listen with our heart rather than our brain.
Exactly.
So I have to practice listening with my heart to understand what meaning there is in the world around me.
And the best way to do that is being present in the moment, not thinking about the past or the future, which exist only in our brain.
I'm sure it's helpful, though, to plan where your next meal is coming from.
Unless we have faith that our next meal will find us.
Like the bird that I kindly asked you to release, does it just happen to fly into your mouth?
Well, the bird that would be my next meal offers itself to me by letting me catch it. It understands that the success of its tribe depends on me being alive and keeping the tribe healthy. If the tribe overpopulated and ate up all of its resources, then there would be mass starvation and disease would set in.
Isn't this what's happening to the human race? We are outgrowing our planet and resources are becoming scarce. And worse, we are changing our planet to the point where it would become uninhabitable for both our species and the species that we share the planet with.
Now you're seeing the bigger picture. This is the reason the bird gives up its life, so that it may live. It innately understands that we are friends and we serve each other. Predators and prey are one tribe.
It seems like we have strayed from our original topic about manners of the heart.
It's through understanding your heart that we see and know our place in the cosmos. Our brain would only try to separate predator and prey.
This was an illusion created by our brain. Oh, that was you. Paul, so matters of the heart have to do with our relationships with each other and the world around us. I'm beginning to see this. We can communicate through words, yet those words are just interpretations of our feelings. To be open means looking deeply at our feelings and trusting those feelings to tell us how to act in the here and now.
Couldn't have been better said.
Thank you. And thank you for bringing all this to my attention. I will begin practicing this on a daily basis. I'm feeling that a little snack might be in order, a little dry food for you, and some cookies and milk for me.
Welcome home.
And you back in my life.
I've always been here.
Well, Bill,
oh, yeah.
I'm sorry. No, that's your point.
Well, I just changed persons. I'm human now. I appreciate you sharing all of this with me, but I feel that we're out of time, so to speak. Are there other topics that you might want to share at a later date?
We have 25 conversations today, and we have just touched on a few. I think that one in particular might be of interest to your members, and that is Unbecoming Human, that explores our relationship with other fellow travelers on the Earth from a genetic standpoint. This is chimpanzees and bonobo monkeys. And of course, animal rights, where Gypsy asks if she is in my will, and what would happen to her if I died from eating too much junk food. Another is what it means to be spiritual, when Gypsy is trying to help me write something for a discussion group on what it means to be spiritual. Another deals with what we might describe as climate grief, how we deal with our feelings about our changing environment. Gypsy has some wise words to share with us. Then, of course, if you wanted to delve into politics, Gypsy could talk about her run for the presidential thing in 2020. Did you see her article in the Macon County News?
Perhaps we could open up to the group and see if they have any comments or suggestions or questions.
I wonder if you saw the shirt that I had on this morning. I don't know if everybody can see it, read it. Read it for me?
A catalyst for real change. Gypsy for president 2020. A person or thing that precipitates an event.
Well, I hope that you might have me back again so we can explore more of these things. I know that you were going out on a limb, so to speak, having a cat coming to speak to your fellowship. And I appreciate your openness to do so. I want to thank you so much for having us. Both Gypsy and I are honored to speak from our hearts with you. She is, of course, in spirit.
Yeah.
So any questions, comments?
I've got to say something. This is just... When I first moved here, I didn't come to the Spiritual Light Center for about 3 months because it's renovating my house. And I had a 10-year-old Toyota Tacoma. And I, Sue, what is the name of the guy that owns the jewelry store down by me?
Chris.
I stopped in and I was visiting that jewelry store. It was really beautiful. I was talking to Chris and his wife, and I pulled out of the parking lot just as a little bitty Ford Fiesta or Royal Blue Focus or something came over the hill, and I knew, boom, that was it. We're going to get it. And he plowed right into the side of my truck, knocking back into the parking lot. And I was knocked out a little bit. And when I came out of the car, I was, my first thought was, what happened over to the people that hit me? I know they're dead. It's terrible. So I jumped out of the car and slammed the door and started taking off looking for these people. And I didn't realize that my door was sprung. And it wouldn't shut. And Gino, the little one, who's now 12, but he was like three at the time, he not the age of gypsy. And see, that is a gypsy, Gino is like gypsy for me, which is totally connected. And I ran and I went back to the car and there was Chesco, my other dog, but Gino was gone. And I panicked. I knew that Gino had run up the mountain into the forest and I didn't know what to do. And I talked to Chris and Chris says, I'll take you up the hill and we'll find him. And I looked everywhere trying to find Gino, you know, just find him to get that vibration or whatever you want to call it. And I saw a trailer, an old had a beat up trailer, and I went over there and Chris says, oh, he's not under there. Well, you know, Chris is a great guy, but he's not connected to Gino. And all of a sudden something told me that's where Gino is. I knew for sure. And I went underneath that trailer and there was Gino sitting dead center underneath there. It took me forever to coax him out. But it was that exact thing. I knew that Gino was under that trailer. There was no question. Zero. And sure enough, that's what it was.
Thank you. I hope this had some meaning for you, maybe, and to think about these issues about time and how we communicate. I've learned so much from Gypsy as far as relationships and respect, you know, for somebody else that we can't. One more thing. They did a little scientific study and they asked people what they liked better, the animal they lived with or their significant other.
Bad question.
What was the result of that study? Which do you think they picked?
The animal. It's gotta be.
Yes, but I'm very lucky. Gypsy is my significant other, as well as the animal that I share my life with. So she wins both ways.
She gets the ring on her paw.
Yeah.
That's like Gino. He's definitely my significant other. Thank you all.